I've had things I've been mulling over while resting, and it's not that you haven't answered them tens of thousands of times in talks and writings, but I felt a little bit frustrated when I got to the speed bump in resting. And I guess part of the reason to turn for comfort is when you find some frustration in resting.
Mm-hmm.
So the feeling was that I have these human limitations, and I see that there's a pure intelligence or a wisdom body that doesn't, you know, really necessarily have to interact with human limitations at all. Awareness seemed to sort of fragment into perception on the one hand, and language on another hand, and then commentary on another hand, so that though these three were all the same thing, they were often at cross purposes. And the perception seemed to be the cleanest part of the hallucination, in that it was actually like a mirror, and you could ignore the reflections and pretty much stick with the mirror. Very, very little problem in perception. Language seemed to be very mysterious, because I just saw it as this semiotic magma coming out of a volcano, you know, with no particular hope of any structure or, you know, getting anywhere. As when you say, well, there's really nothing to think about, but here's this gigantic mush of language headed for nothing to think about and completely empty, and yet, you know. And then the commentary seemed to be capable of spoiling perception, you know, very easily, sort of overriding perception. That's to say, perception would occur and be rather free, but then commentary would latch onto it and start either classifying or dredging up something from memory or finding something likable or dislikable and kind of wrecking the perception. So I guess the question would be, is the human system designed to distract itself for some reason?
Mm-hmm. When human knowing is kept in its simplest form, then one would have to say that knowing is due to human awareness. Without human awareness, there would be no capacity to know. Thus, awareness itself is the basis of all knowing or all knowledge. And leaving all philosophy aside and all science aside, and all of their descriptions, and simply sticking with the human experience of being aware and knowing a variety of things via that awareness, it gives us incredible information. When we can identify that awareness within ourselves that is the basis of all knowing, then gradually, or rarely, sometimes suddenly, it's possible to see how we've trained our awareness to fetch and play with points of view that appear within it, in the same way that a dog is trained to fetch and play with a ball. And so this is to keep it who we are in its most simple form. So now we're not going to talk about philosophical ideas or anything like that. We're going to just talk about the simple experience of being human and what the basis of the perception of being human is. We wouldn't even have the perception of being human without awareness. It would be impossible. And awareness is sometimes called consciousness. Yet consciousness is kind of difficult to pin down. One person would have one definition of it and another person would have another. So if we say awareness, well, everyone on earth, every human being would have to say, I am aware. There's no one who could say that they're not aware, or to say that awareness is present right here. And so what we can say is that this awareness is. And this awareness is naturally present. It's naturally present as all perceptions. Awareness naturally present as all perceptions. And in the great freedom way of looking at things, the knowledge that we call great freedom, what we say is that within this overall view of awareness, all points of view are included and contained. So all the points of view that appear within awareness appear due to awareness and have never appeared for any other reason. You know, that there's no point of view that exists elsewhere. Any point of view that is known by anyone is known due to awareness, no matter what that point of view is. So if we hope to know anything about the perceptions themselves, we need to become extremely familiar with or identified with awareness in order to understand the perceptions themselves. We can't understand the perceptions themselves through themselves. That's impossible. To do that is to just enter into frustration and confusion. To identify with the perceptions to try to make sense of things never leads to any kind of definitive conclusion. However, by identifying with awareness, there is more and more of the comfort and ease of that awareness as the basis of everything, and less of the distraction of frustration and confusion by perceptions. Now, what you call perceptions in your question or language or whatever you might call it that is appearing within awareness, to simplify it is just to say that it's all a point of view, and it isn't necessary to look at the different qualities and characteristics of perception versus language, for example. They're all points of view appearing within awareness. And when you identify with awareness and gain confidence in that, then by virtue of that, all these perceptions that seem to have individual power of some kind dry up. And so in the same way that the sun would shine on a puddle for days on end and the puddle would evaporate, so too by resting as awareness and gaining confidence in that, the awareness is never changing. But the more one returns to what rest and gains confidence in resting as awareness, and then is able to just identify solely as awareness without trying to identify with it, in that way the focus on the points of view just dries up. It dries up completely and there's nothing to focus on. Because the identification now is with awareness. It's no longer with the points of view within awareness. This applies to everything. There are all kinds of ways that awareness is described. Yet, when we gain confidence with awareness in our own experience, what we come to see, usually gradually, once in a great while a person realizes this suddenly, but that's exceedingly rare. What we come to realize is that in identifying with awareness, the perceptions aren't a problem, the points of view aren't a problem. So thoughts and emotions that we once took to have power to make us feel one way or another no longer do. They just no longer do. They're just the dynamic display of awareness. They have no power in their own right. They're empty words that have been imputed to have a power that they do not have. When they're really looked at, it's seen that no power, no individual power can be found in any of the points of view. The only power resides in the awareness that is the source of the points of view. By gaining confidence in that, then we come to see that awareness is beneficial. So this too is very simple. Awareness is immediately beneficial. Rather than working and efforting to achieve some kind of long-term gain through different kinds of actions involving reorganizing perceptions, what we find is that in gaining confidence in awareness, in maintaining awareness, there's immediate benefit. One doesn't have to wait for a long-term result of some kind. There's immediate benefit in the moment of the perception appearing and spontaneously self-freeing. And so this is it. This is solely it, to gain confidence in awareness, maintain awareness no matter what point of view appears. And don't elaborate on points of view. Don't allow them to have an importance they do not have by getting distracted in them when they appear. Now, in gaining confidence and awareness, all kinds of points of view will continue to appear. Bliss, non-conceptuality, clarity, apathy, indifference, all kinds of points of view will appear. However, maintain confidence and awareness, just that. Maintain confidence and awareness no matter what comes up. No matter what the description is, it isn't evidence of anything. Because whatever the description is, its source is due to awareness. To really understand the point of view that is appearing, it requires awareness. Otherwise, the point of view will seem to be something in its own right. It will seem to have a power to somehow cause benefit or harm. It will somehow seem to be the cause of an effect or the effect of a cause. And as long as one is associated with that way of using the mind, then there is constant frustration and confusion and never any definitive conclusion about anything. Yet in gaining confidence and awareness, one comes to have a definitive conclusion about everything. And so you see the two are quite different. Getting lost, training the mind to get totally lost in perceptions and play around with them is just like training the dog to fetch a ball and then play with it. When we train the mind to do that, then that's what the mind does. When we train the mind to rest as its basis, ever-present, stainless awareness, then that's what we're identified with. Now, awareness obviously isn't separate from any of these perceptions, as all of the perceptions are due to it. So how could they possibly be something separate? To, in a relaxed way, sustain awareness while the perceptions do whatever they do, we see that awareness is like vast open sky. And the perceptions are like the flight path of a bird in that sky. They leave no trace. And just like there's no way to identify the past bird path in the sky, there's also no way to identify the present bird path or the future bird path. They're all empty sky. So even the ideas of time, such as past, present, and future, or even timelessness, all these too are points of view appearing in forever empty awareness. And this forever empty awareness, it's not an inert void. If it were an inert void, it would have the tone of apathy or indifference. Yet it doesn't have that tone. It has a tone of a benefit, of really incredible benefit. And we are able to see that in our own experience. We see it in our own experience because thoughts and emotions that once troubled us no longer do. And we find that we don't need to rely on thoughts and emotions in order to make decisions, that actually we make our best decisions from this incredible space of awareness that is just wide open and free of all ideas, free of all perceptions. Awareness that is truly confident just uses thoughts and emotions as tools or playthings, you know, they're appearances of itself, its own self-appearances. All sounds are its own self-sounds. All of these things that appear in awareness in and of themselves, they have no promise or peril that is implicit in them. By gaining familiarity with awareness, it's really clear that this is so, that there is a level of very profound insight that is free of all thinking and free of all emotion. It doesn't mean that there are no longer thoughts and emotions. That isn't the case at all. There will always be the dynamic display of whatever is appearing within awareness. Yet, when these are taken to have power, then there's constant distraction by them and a story about how they can cause benefit or harm. Yet, when there's confidence maintained in awareness, it's clear that they pose no benefit or harm, not either one. They don't pose any benefit. They don't pose any harm either. The only benefit truly can be in awareness. Now, this is so far beyond what most of us know to be true about ourselves, that when we begin to become familiar with awareness, it can seem either unsatisfying because our mind has been so busy trying to make sense of things, or it can seem greatly beneficial, one or the other. Or somewhere in between, you know, it might be kind of hard to rest as awareness because we're so keen on trying to make sense of everything that's appearing, trying to create meaning out of what's appearing. But whatever it is, just continue to rest as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. In this way, awareness itself will outshine all the points of view without you doing anything. And you'll come to see that there is only awareness, that what you thought to be you is actually awareness. So even the perception of being an individual somebody is just like any other point of view appearing in awareness. It's a momentary appearance that instantly evaporates like a snowflake falling on hot pavement. When reality is so misperceived to believe that perceptions are real, then we become very convinced of that. We become exceedingly convinced of that all these perceptions are really real. And we can't conceive that there might be a greater reality in which the reality we perceive is subsumed. We can't even conceive that that's true. It's inconceivable. Because we've trained ourselves to believe a certain thing about what we see. And today, there are lots of very fixed ideas and scientific descriptions that conclude that what we see is just what it is, that whatever we see is exactly what it is. If we see a tree, then that's what it is. It has its own independent nature. And that if we look into it, we can find that it has an independent nature. Well, first of all, if beforehand we decide that something has an independent nature, and then we look into that thing, then we're going to find that it has an independent nature if we've concluded beforehand that it has one. Yet if we examine everything that appears and break it down to subatomic particles and then put those particles in a linear particle accelerator, we see that everything, no matter what we can identify as being something, that it is just nothing but space. It's nothing but pure space. And so what does that have to say about awareness? Well, you know, probably says that awareness is equal to space. These are very simple conclusions that we can draw just through gaining familiarity with awareness in our own experience. And that the only choices are to do so or to continue on with the other way of being, of just getting lost in all the points of view. Now, anything that we train in, we spend a lot of time committed to that. So if we want to learn to be a plumber or a bread baker or a house cleaner, an accountant or a teacher or whatever it may, what may be, we need to really train in that. And the training is ongoing, so once we learn to we learn a skill, then there's ever more learning that takes place. Now, in when we commit to gaining confidence and awareness, you could say that's training ourselves to identify with awareness rather than with the points of view. So this training, too, requires commitment. And the more we expose ourselves to the tools of the training, the easier it is to gain confidence and awareness. The tools, so to speak, of training in awareness and great freedom are the practice, the soul practice, the single practice of resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times until it becomes automatic. And the other three of the four comforts, as they're called, are the teacher, the teaching, and the community. So when we hit a stumbling block in resting as awareness, we can reach out to the community, the teacher, and the teaching. In this way, we can definitively train in gaining confidence and awareness, and that confidence will come about. It's guaranteed if we pursue the training program as it's set out, then that confidence is guaranteed to come about. So it's that simple. It's a lot easier than anything else. And once we gain confidence and awareness, then we don't need to try to rest any longer. There's no need to rest. We've entered the space of no more learning. And just as we trained ourselves to become familiar with points of view, now we've trained ourselves to become familiar with awareness. So this is very simple. It's very straightforward. The beauty of awareness is that once we've gained confidence in that, there's no more training. So with other areas of endeavor, other areas of training, there's ongoing training forever, no matter how long we live. But once we gain confidence and awareness, there's no more training. There's no more training that's necessary. There's nothing more to learn. Now, this is the easy way to live. It's really the easy way to live. The difficult way to live is to have a lot of stories about everything that's going on, to reify what appears, to take everything that appears to be something in and of itself, to take all the chattering of the mind to really be important and significant, and to identify with that chatter. So it's really a choice of, on the one hand, frustration, confusion, being all wrapped up in thoughts and emotions and never knowing when confusing states are going to appear that'll just overwhelm one. Never being totally sure of oneself in relation to circumstances due to this. It's a choice between that and total wide open clarity at all times, accompanied by profound insight and exceedingly skillful activities. So what do you choose? Doom and gloom and a few moments of McDonald's burger and fries happiness, or the endless wisdom nectar of forever open awareness. Antidotes to thoughts and emotions lead absolutely nowhere. All they do is, at best, is neutralize thoughts and emotions. Antidotes are like band-aids. A band-aid works for a while, but then it falls off. It won't stay on forever. And this is what an antidote is like. It may seem to work for a while, but then it'll fall off, and there's the gaping wound underneath. And antidotes to thoughts and emotions are things like avoiding thoughts and emotions in order to not have them. So putting together some kind of strategy of avoidance, whether it's trying to force the mind to get into a certain state, like forcing it to get into a certain state through meditation or other ways of training the mind to focus in a certain way, or entering into celibacy in order to avoid the perception of desire. That's another example of avoidance. And another antidote would be to replace thoughts and emotions with other thoughts and emotions. So, for example, when having unpleasant thoughts, to replace them with pleasant thoughts. In other words, if you're having thoughts about a horrible memory that you just can't bear, to replace it with a happy beach scene, your favorite beach, or something like that. Or to replace anger with happy feelings. All these are antidotes. They neutralize what's appearing, but they don't overcome it. They don't achieve mastery over it. It's only in going to the source of the perception that mastery can be achieved. that mastery can be achieved only in identifying as flawless awareness. That's the only way possible. And in this way, you will leave behind all thoughts and emotions as being troublesome. You will be completely free of all thoughts and emotions as troublesome. They will no longer appear to be pests who are out to ruin your day. When we believe that thoughts and emotions are pests that are out to ruin our day, what we really believe is that our mind is in our brain and it's causing us trouble. It can cause us trouble, but it somehow is operating independently of everything else about us. Everything else about us is working in this effortless, free-flowing way, yet we're stating that the mind is doesn't operate the way the rest of the body does. We say, oh no, the rest of the body may operate in a totally effortless, free-flowing way, but the mind is really troublesome. It's really a pain. It's really scary in there, in that brain. So you see, it's just a misperception about what the mind is, where it is, and how it operates. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, according to reason or logic, that all of the body would operate effortlessly, but that the brain wouldn't, that it would be filled with turmoil and trouble and alternating states of happiness and suffering, that we're somehow controlling the body in which it is. And when we look at it in that way, it just seems kind of preposterous, doesn't it? But that misperception is just due to not understanding the nature of the mind, to focusing on the perceptions of the mind and all the words that are associated with these perceptions and taking those to have a power they do not have. All the while, the basis of the mind is never changing. It's never changing. Awareness is never changing at all. It's indestructible, unalterable, unchangeable. The awareness that looks in the mirror when you're 1 year old is the same awareness looking in the mirror at 90, and it's never changed. It's never been altered in any way whatsoever by any perception that's appeared within it. And so any one of us can sit here and examine that in our own experience. We've all had highs and lows, ups and downs, ins and outs, and this, that, and the other thing. We've undergone birth. We've had all kinds of life experiences. Yet through all of that, the awareness that is the source of all that perceiving has never changed. We've gone from being a small person to a big person, and all awareness has never changed throughout that entire process. So if we really want to understand what this business about being human is, first of all, we have to gain familiarity with and confidence in that by which we know we're human, awareness. When we gain confidence in that, then for the first time we can see the perceptions clearly, and we can see if they're related to each other at all. We can make sense of what it means to be human. And in the meantime, we will be giving ourselves the tremendous benefit of well-being. And not only that, the more well-being we have within ourselves due to the power of resting imperturbably as awareness, the more benefit we feel for ourselves, the more naturally we want to be of benefit to others. So all this is just naturally present within us, and it's only due to misperception that we don't see it. That's all.